Josh.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Blur.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Blur.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Blur.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Blur.
A couple of more wiggles. A couple of more wiggles.
Yeah. Is that here to stay?
Do you want it to stay?
I don't know. I wasn't expecting it twice in a row. Oh, God. Oh, man. Hi. It's me, Hi. Josh Wiggler, co-host of The Wiggle Room here on Rob as a Podcast.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, very good. All right, here we are, Wiggle Room for episode number 6.
Yeah.
Survivor 39. And I don't know. I hope if people are listening chronologically to this podcast in terms of everything that RHAP drops, they might not be hearing this until about Friday this week.
That's possible just because there's too much stuff, because there's too much content.
Really hit people with a apocalypse the last 24 hours. A lot of shows has just dropped.
If they've activated their special advantage, the podcast blocker, they can remove the Wiggle Room from their podcast feed, and there's nothing I can do about it. You just take us out of the equation. But you do so knowing that you're also negatively impacting Jordan Kalish, so put that on your conscience.
Yeah.
As you're deciding to vote us out of your podcast feed.
Jordan Kalish will be with us in just a little bit, as Matt Liguori will join us to take me on in the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Amazing.
Yes, but Josh, we had a very fun week of Survivor to talk about. Big episode, lots of great stuff. And what was your take on this week on Survivor?
Yeah, I think this is the best episode of the season for sure. I think it's hard to vote against that take for me. I think it did what Survivor does best. It had a really thoughtful meditation on where we are culturally and how that maps onto the beach out in Survivor, with an exceptionally narrated insight from Jamal, I thought. And you know, a scene that you don't really expect to happen often on Survivor nowadays, at least. You know, this it almost felt old school in that sense, even though the subject matter at hand is still so contemporary, like tragically contemporary. And I just loved hearing Jamal speak so openly and so honestly. And I thought that Jack did a great job of owning his failings in the matter and really wanting to be there for Jamal. And so just as like two human beings who I think like really love and respect each other out there, to see them forge their way through a really difficult moment, and to see Survivor portray that when we know that it does not always get portrayed, even if sometimes there are things that happen that could be instructional and educational and moving and important to include on the show, whether it's just because there's so much airtime, whether for whatever reasons, because there's so many story movements, so many different developments, doesn't make it onto the show. I was just very happy to, not that it happened necessarily, but very happy that if it happened, that it made it to air. And I think that it was really, really great to behold. And that's baked into what was outside of that, outside of like what the core premise of Survivor is, being this show that is, you know, it's reality TV, but it feels very real oftentimes. That's one of the reasons why I love it so much. Beyond that, there's also all of the things that you traditionally come to know about Survivor these days that were executed so well. Really excellent challenges, funny scenes, an insane tribal council. So just top to bottom, I thought it was great. Suck It Up Buttercup, maybe being the name of this episode, is probably like, I don't know if that really speaks to sort of the quality of the episode quite as well as maybe some other quotes could have done. But all things being said, I really thought that this was a very strong episode of the show, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So does suck it up buttercup mean anything to you?
Well, I've heard pucker up buttercup.
Yes.
Which is Principal Rooney in Ferris Bueller when he believes that he is being pranked by Ferris Bueller, and he thinks he's got the upper hand on Ferris on the phone, and he starts like smack talking Ferris, and then he gets a notification from his secretary Grace that I believe Sloane's father
has
faked. Not by,
is this Principal Rooney?
Yeah. Cameron is on the other line. and that's when Principal Rooney himself is blindsided. So I remember him saying, pucker up buttercup to Ferris right before he gets the call from Mr. Yeah. Peterson. But I haven't heard suck it up buttercup, but I wonder if that's what Boston Rob was pulling from.
Glad we were able to integrate Ferris Bueller somehow to the first time to the Wiggle Room, right?
Yeah. Is it the first
Probably.
Time we haven't gotten a bout? That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Maybe we had Donka Shane in the wand off before.
I feel like Twist and Shout. We've had Twist and Shout.
Mm-hmm.
Have we gotten when Cameron went to Fiji land?
All right, much like the odometer in Cameron's dad's car, let's wind it back a little bit.
Let's back it up.
Okay. Jason goes out here this week. Another Long Island native, Josh. Any thoughts on Jason's 6-week run?
Yeah, as I said to him, and as I'm sure Mike Bloom said to him as well, I said, look, we spent months thinking you were the second one out, so good on you for getting as far as you did. Yeah, we absolutely thought that he had gotten fried at like whatever tribal council Vokai would have gone to first, whether it was second, third, or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, that had been the narrative leaving Fiji when Mike and I were there for the preseason, that it was kind of up in the air who would go home if it was Lyro, and it was a bit of a surprise that it ended up being Ronnie. But over at Vokai, it felt like it was fairly clear that Jason was on the outs. Jason was in trouble for the reasons depicted on screen, that he was being, suspected of idol hunting or whatever, doing stuff to alienate himself from the tribe. And so Mike and I having like nobody to talk to except for each other about what we knew about Island of the Idols for months and months and months, in all of our conversations, we're like, okay, so you got to imagine it's Ronnie first, Jason second. Where do we go from there? So we were wrong about that. And
did you guys Brant steal the rest of the season?
We really should have, and I believe we had discussed doing it, and we just never got our act together. We got too deep into the Lost Minds to get into the
blame the Lost podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you blame the Lost podcast for a lot of things these days, but it's still a delight.
Or you could.
No, I think just the royal you. The royal you. Okay. The royal you could blame a lot on the Lost podcast. But I accept it all gladly because I'm thrilled that it exists and I would not have it any other way. So Jason ended up doing a lot better than Mike and I thought that he would do. To the point that when he survived that Molly vote, I was like, oh, wow. So Jason might end up doing pretty well here. Like, that was very effective survivor playing. And everything that we had gotten to see from him from that moment onward, I was very impressed by. When he led his tribe to a very impressive victory in the blindfold challenge that Nora would have botched as the caller. Jason did such a great job with that. And I really thought that we were going to be with him for a while. Like, he seemed like he was he was like a go-to guy. We love those go-to guys.
Yeah.
He was a narrator for so much of the action. And I was really blindsided at this vote. I really thought that Aaron wasn't going to go along with it. I really thought that we probably were going to lose Elaine in like some sort of massive betrayal. And even when Jason's vote was taken away, I was like the chicken who didn't realize that his head was about to be yanked off. I had no idea that it was going to be Jason. Like, I still just didn't feel like that was what was going to happen. So I was really, really shocked by the result and sad for Jason, who I know this experience meant so much to him as a huge, huge fan
of the show on the Reddit boards, even before he was on Survivor. You know, this is somebody who loves this game. This is the guy who knew to keep his hands off the table during the first one ad interview. So I was incentivized to root for him, and I'm sad that he's at six.
Mm-hmm. What about when they had the opportunity to send somebody to the Island of the Idols and he didn't want to be one of the volunteers? It seemed like everybody was playing very tight except for Nora. Could he have gone to the Island of the Idols, and should he have jumped at the chance to get an advantage maybe? Because then potentially he ends up with a vote block coming into this vote.
Back when Nora went, you're saying?
Back when Nora went. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's radioactive at that point for him, right? Like, I think, like, if he has just survived by the skin of his teeth, a couple of days earlier when all of the heat had been on him for potentially having an idol, for potentially having something that he's found from one of his walks in the woods, then for him to say, like, I'll go to the Island of the Idols. I'm happy to do it.
Yeah.
Feels like that's, I like, you better come back.
But he ended up being the caller anyway, just so it would have worked out okay.
It's true.
Yeah.
He definitely would have gotten it. But I think for him to come back from that experience, volunteering himself when he was already in so much danger, coming back and successfully getting a vote blocker out of the deal, that would not have been worth the squeeze. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that you can fault Jason for that one. I think, like, look, I'm not always such a huge fan of the narrative of coming off the show where it's like, well, they voted me out because I was a threat. Like, I just feel like, you know, like, all right, okay, sure. You're all threats to some degree because that's why you were placed on the show. They believe in your ability to either win this game or provide A-plus quality content and entertainment along the way. But I think in Jason's case, when you're looking at the people who were out there to choose from between himself, Dan, Lauren, and Tommy, I think that Jason is a threat. And I think that you touched on this in a lot of your podcasting leading up to today. And I love the suggestion of frosted tips for Jason. I think is definitely, like, that's the move. Is you gotta we may be reaching this point where, like, that Christian type or the Fishback type or the Rob type or whatever, the nerdy white male, they do seem to go deep into the game right now. And if you've got a shot at that person versus a few of the other people that you're coming at, I think it doesn't surprise me that that person gets targeted based on optics, that person gets identified. The nickname Jason says that he had, they were calling him Fishback. You know, once you get a stigma like that,
yeah,
names are coming back from that. Names are very powerful. I did say to Jason when I spoke with him, and he said that they were calling me Fishback. I was like, well, why is that a threat? It means you're a zero vote finalist. You should be a dream to bring along.
Yeah.
You know? But look, like, it's based on Jason's account, like, it seems like Lauren and Missy were really tight, so she's not going anywhere. It seems like Tommy has some protection as well. And then the question becomes, is it Jason or Dan? And it seems like people think that Jason's maybe, like, a little more socially connected or has, like, longer reach in the game. So if that's the question, like, you suck it up, Buttercup, and you vote out Jason here. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. It's just, what a nightmarish way to go. You know, like, his whole tribal council, Rob, once his vote is taken away, I feel like it is one very long, drawn out version of your final moments in Survivor All-Stars, minus the F-bombs and the expletives. Like, it just feels like this slow motion train wreck of, like, oh God, I'm dead. It was really tough to watch. I felt very bad for him. Very bad for him.
Well, I think if I was Jason, I think I would have taken some comfort in, like, okay, well, they took my vote away. That, I mean, even Rob said, like, well, it doesn't mean they're going to vote him out. Like, they took my vote away, but are they going to vote for me too?
I think at that, I don't know where you find comfort in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, and even, like, with, like, the...
Well, I think you try to tell yourself that. That's a decoy. Oh, they're going to... They took my vote away, but they're not actually going to vote me out now.
I think at that point, maybe when you have no move other than conversationally, certainly once the voting begins, I think at that point now your only move is to prepare yourself for the worst. because there's nothing you can get anybody to do unless you suspect somebody has an idol and you're like, please play it on me. God, help me. But otherwise, you've got nothing to do, nowhere to move, nothing that can possibly be done in terms of your own agency. So your best move at that point, I think, is to brace yourself for survivor death, that like you are about to get voted out and you should start making your peace with it.
Yeah. If somebody from Vokai did have an idol, do you think they would have played it on Jason? Like, did Lyra actually play that this poorly?
I don't know if you take, well, this is like
basically Jamal found an idol on there was an idol on Vokai Beach, you know, that nobody knows Jamal had it. Like any of those four people could have had the idol. Would they have played it on Jason?
This is when we want to be calling up Dr. Mike. To be asking him to weigh in on some five-dimensional chess.
Yeah.
Because, like, once upon a time, you would say that by blocking Jason's vote, you're signaling that he's probably not the person that you're voting for. But it's like the 5D chess version of Survivor now being like, aha, we're blocking his vote, so you think we're not voting for him, but we are actually voting for him. So where do you go? What do you do? What do you move? I mean, I feel like Lyro did not seem to tip off where their vote was going beyond that, to the point that very memorably there's this instance before the votes are read where Jason goes to try and fist bump Aaron. And Aaron shuts it down. Like, Aaron does not fist bump him back. But up until that moment, like, Aaron, like, when he's getting whispered to, he's just like, yeah, we're sticking to the plan. It's totally fine. Like, Aaron's got a good poker face about this whole thing. So I just don't know that they did much to tip off exactly where they were voting. So if an idol had even been in play, I don't know that you think to plop it onto Jason at this point.
Yeah, we're full on into Vizzini territory with talking about this.
Never mess with...
Josh, I wanted to ask you also from that tribal council that I talked about this with Ali, but I want to get your take on this. Jeff Probst talked about maybe some tribal council entree that is served.
All right, let's imagine we're in a living room, special night, watching Survivor. We've got some donuts.
Donuts.
Tribal council comes.
Do you eat donuts during tribal council?
You know, I have seen other circular arrangements of food consumed.
Me too.
Consumed with Survivor viewing, with the dairy products thrown in there for good measure every once in a while. But I don't believe that I have ever eaten a donut while watching Survivor. And maybe I'm missing out. Like, maybe what Probst is like tipping us off to is that there is a truly sublime way to view Survivor that you and me and everybody else who's making fun of this we're missing out on. Like, second only, I assume, to plowing down a heaping plate of loaded nachos from Applebee's with the queso.
Fajitas. Yeah.
I don't know. Does Applebee's make donuts? I don't believe so.
They make a blue ribbon brownie. I'm not sure if they have a donut there. But I think it might just be that, you know, if you're having a Survivor party, maybe a dessert gets served during tribal council.
I think for future reference, I think our next big know-it-all shindig, you got to have some donuts on hand.
Okay.
Three donuts that you got to pass out to the crowd.
We'll bring those out. That's a good idea. All right.
Just like another clue, though, that Jeff Probst not like actually a human being, just like pretending to be a human being, like trying to relate. Like, the people like make fun of him about like the loved one stuff when he's talking about, so what does a brother's love even mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, this is like kind of in that family of like, like donuts, am I right, guys?
You know, you watch TV, you eat donuts. I get it.
That's what people do.
Yeah. All right, Josh, I do want to ask you on a serious note that you actually wrote up an article this week about the passing of Survivor legend Rudy Bosch for THR this week. And did you have any particular thoughts on Rudy?
What can I say that hasn't been said, I imagine? I mean, What I wrote on Twitter was, and I think, you know, then going back and seeing everything, because I was, you know, I was working on the article and going back and seeing a lot of the remembrances for Rudy, I think a lot of people had like the same sentiment of, you know, you and I are not talking, if not for Rudy Bosch. You know, the people who are listening to this podcast and the 500 other podcasts you recorded this week about Survivor, or anything, honestly, are not listening to those podcasts. They don't know each other if not for Rudy Bosch. Like, there are, a lot of different reasons why Survivor exists. There are a lot of different reasons why Survivor has thrived. There are a lot of different reasons why we're looking at two decades of Survivor. And you can point to, you know, whichever reasons you'd like to point to. But undeniably on that list for me is Rudy Bosch, who emerged as such a decisive fan favorite in that first season. I've told the story certainly in The Evolution of Strategy. I don't know how often I've talked about it on the podcast that my first episode of Survivor was the Survivor Borneo finale. And what I'd been hearing like all summer long, I was a teenager, and all of my friends who have now since abandoned watching Survivor were super into it, and what I kept hearing was, you gotta watch the show. They would explain the premise, and like leading into finale night, like everybody kept saying, there's this badass Navy SEAL, this old guy who's the favorite to win, he's the one we're all rooting for, and that was like my perspective coming into that final episode, and so I was like immediately incentivized to root for the guy. And I just remember him being like very funny, very stoic, like felt like a movie character. And little did I know at the time, like, you know, what you come to know once you get a fuller sense of who Rudy is. And, you know, we're talking about him in terms of his contribution to television, and that just doesn't do justice to the man's legacy as, you know, as a Navy SEAL, and his duty to this country, and what he accomplished over the course of his really storied life. But we're talking about it from a television perspective because it's not just a television perspective. You know, Rudy being Rudy on TV and giving us moments like, you know, his unlikely friendship with Richard Hatch, which in many ways does not, you know, some of the language involved in that maybe doesn't hold up so fantastically in today's landscape. But, you know, so much of it was so important culturally at the time. It really illustrated how in touch with the conversation in our own world a show like this could be, and also showed like the level of reality behind some of these people, that he was so pronounced as such a full-figured, fully dimensional human being, that indicated who you could see on your TV through a program like this. And I think because of the success of Rudy on the show as a person who just like popped off the screen and right into your heart and your mind, it's that kind of energy that has kept Survivor thriving for so long. And because of that, and because of a man like him, we are talking today. You are listening to this today, maybe. You're at least listening, I assume, to several of the other podcasts that Rob is putting out. You're talking to the friends that you've made through this podcast, through a Survivor message board, people who have been who have met their spouses through this community, people who have children because of this community, and that's just what already exists. That's not even accounting for what's to come. I think you can credit so much of that to the fact that Rudy Bosch was on our TV screens. So to say that he is a titan of our lives is, I think, underselling it. I'm thrilled that all of us got to meet him in the fashion that we did. And I will close out my rambling remembrance of Rudy by saying Combat Missions was underrated. Oh. I enjoyed Combat Missions.
Yeah, when Combat Missions was post Survivor, right?
Yes, that was post Survivor.
He hosted another show for Mark Burnett.
Yeah, he hosted Combat Missions. It was a cool show.
Yeah,
it's a good season.
Yeah,
I remember watching it as a kid and really enjoyed it. On a serious note, I loved watching Rudy.
Yeah,
and you know, my heart goes out to his family for sure.
Also, Rudy from, you know, getting to spend a lot of time with him during the All Stars, that he had like a lot of opportunities after the show. That one of the other TV projects that they actually shot a pilot for was that they wanted to do a show called Judge Rudy, where I don't know. I don't know if this predated Judge Judy or if it was a if it was a joke on that. I'm not sure exactly. I have to look up when Judge Judy premiered. But Judge Rudy Bosch, I'm not sure if that was the working title, but he was going to be.
Judge Judy existed 1996 first okay. episode date.
Well, it was going to be a courtroom show where wow. people were going to come in and then, you know, try their cases before Rudy. And then he was just going to pass judgment of either, I don't know, or, you know, give it to this guy.
Oh, my but, God.
Yeah.
So that incredible. Was, absolutely that, incredible.
He was so huge at that time. Josh, okay, so before we're going to head into the wand off, let me just take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, and those are our friends over at Brooklinen. And of course, it's so important to have a comfortable...
You want to know right now, before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the wand off. It's the wand off forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You ought to know right now, before you go any further, it's the wand off. It'll be here forever.
Off his back.
Can't believe you censored your own sponsor.
Look, you don't know when the wand off is going to strike.
I guess that's true.
Like a bolt of lightning.
Yeah, no one's safe.
Yeah.
No one is safe from the wand off.
You never know precisely when or where one's going to strike.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Well, let's see who is one step closer to that golden ticket to Applebee's.
Yeah. All right. So last week, I think we had one of the all-time blowouts of the wand off.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. I don't know if we've ever had a week like last week, which was one of the all-time great wand-off weeks to begin with. In third place with 7%, it was newcomer Nicole from California. Please don't wear these socks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's only 7%. It was so good. Oh, my God. Last week was ridiculous.
Yeah. Got a lot of great feedback about the wand-off last week.
It was a great wand-off. Everyone should be very proud. Everyone did such a good job.
All right. In second place, another newcomer to the wand-off top five with 9.4% of the vote. It was newcomer Tina Toner and DJ Derek with Not Lucky, the Britney Spears mm-hmm. parody.
Yes.
Okay. And then it was a all-time blowout last week. The winner of the week five wand off with a staggering. We have to check the record books. This might be an all-time mandate for a wand off winner. 71.35%
wow.
of the vote came wow. in. For this week's wand off winner, Kid on My Socks.
Hey, Tommy, I got something real important to tell you. So just sit down and listen. Bro, you know we've been together such a short, short time.
Such a short time.
But now I'm ready. To infiltrate this tribe.
Well, I hope you're listening. I'm about to turn the tide.
Turn the tide.
Can I show you something that displays my softer side?
My softer side. I've got it.
Wow, 71% of the vote.
That's crazy.
Josh.
That's crazy.
I mean, that I don't think we've... I can't remember a time when it topped 60. To go back through the all-time wand-off archives.
Look, again, I think it's that secret sauce of context being king and then coming up with a concept that is just so spectacularly stupid that you can't help yourself but quick vote. I feel like kid on my socks at those things for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so great job by Phil T and Jenny. Okay.
I'm thrilled. That was really fun.
So the tabulator, Kirk Clark, who puts together all of the voting results for us, of course, you can vote at robiswebsite.com/votewanda, tells us that to keep an eye out, there was some voter irregularity coming in this week from South Africa.
Wow.
Jacques, we're looking at you.
Yeah, Jacques, it's definitely Jacques.
Kid on my jocks. Jocks, people. Jocks. Okay. All right. Let's bring in the host of the Wandoff to take us through the week six Wandoff. Of course, he is the late, great Casey Kasem. Rob, I want to make it clear that in honor of Applebee's, I'm going full on queso queso.
Again?
Last week, I was just queso quesum, and I felt that it was a missed opportunity to go full on queso queso.
So you're going back to the Applebee's gag because you felt like there's some low-hanging cheese that you forgot to pluck. And so you're grabbing it and you're smothering yourself in double queso when there was so much else to talk about from this week's episode of Survivor that you're opening on queso queso. I just want to make sure I've got the facts
straight.
I've
been beating myself up all week okay. long.
I understand. I've been there. I get it. You think of the good joke a week later, you're like, I got to do it. And I totally get it. I totally get it.
Josh, were you impressed with the brand new shelter that Boston Rob has seemingly constructed from nowhere?
Listen, this is the fulfillment of the promise of the preseason, where Rob was saying he was going to build the biggest shelter they had ever seen. All these people surprised to see it on TV. Y'all haven't been... You've been neglecting your preseason duties is what it tells me. And I'm mildly offended, but mostly on Mike Bloom's behalf. That guy really put in work and you're not honoring the work.
Here is our first song from Nicole from California. She's back once again after her third place finish last week. Here is Nicole.
Rob the Builder. Can he build it? Rob the Builder. Yes. He can! Elizabeth, Kelly, Vincent, Nora, too. Elaine and Sandra, join the crew. Three-story shelter, no small chore. Even a place for Sandra to snore.
That's Rob the Builder.
Yeah, that's from a show that if we had the bandwidth, I know we get a lot of requests for it. We just don't have the bandwidth to cover it on post-show recaps.
It's as a parent, it's really weird. Sometimes it's like there's cartoon versions, there's claymation versions. Like, I don't know if I'm watching a show that was on from yesterday or 30 years ago. Yeah. Weird show.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is that if we had had, if we had the resources to do the full on down the hatch, Bob the Builder, deep dive, we could straighten that out for you, Rob. But yeah. Alas, or just the purse strings are a little tight these days. Maybe someday.
Up next, Josh, is Ryan S. with something. That's
250 episodes of Bob the Builder. Yeah. That's 250 weeks of Bob the Builder podcasting content. That's just money on the table. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Josh, we've got something here that's just for you. Here's Ryan S., who's missing his favorite character in this episode.
Okay.
Who voted out Chelsea? Detective Dean.
Kowalski, analysis.
Detective Dean.
We really are going to do it, huh?
That was Tata the Bushman.
All right, one more glycerine and then we can call it. you guys have one last glycerine before it's outlawed. So make it count next week. Week 40 of glycerine glistening in the distance.
I spared the listeners the whole long intro. Just get the chorus. Because Josh said, keep the glycerine coming.
One more. Now Josh now says, one more glycerine. Make it count. And then we'll come up with our next song that we can, maybe Britney Spears is lucky if you guys want to bring that back.
Next up, here's James from Canada, who is talking about how Jason was looking for some assurances from Aaron at Tribal Council.
We all went to Tribal and sat down on logs. I thought we had a plan, but my head was in a bog. I looked at all my crew for a light of hope. Stuck my fist out at Aaron, but he said no. Fist bump, I got denied.
That was from the President of the United States, a.k.a. Sarah Lucina at the Kagiyan merch.
Yes. Speaking of Aaron, breaking news are happening now. Aaron Meredith just tweeted out a photo of himself with his family and a gigantic oversized check for $5, yes, read them and weep, $5 sent to him by none other than Randy Bailey.
Oh, an oversized check.
Because Aaron is the recipient of the first ever official Randy money. Aaron tweets, I am so proud to be the very first winner of Randy money. I admit that so far I have made my share of mistakes, but lopping that defenseless chicken's head off was not one of them. I did not realize that Randy was awarding $5 as an anti-SEA incentive.
Wow. And then does Randy go to the bank for the oversized check?
I can't tell if this is just an arts and crafts project that was made at the Meredith household. It seems likely. Randy tweets, I am so sorry that I could not be there in person. Oh, I guess I should try. Hold on. Let me try this again. Let me just regroup real quick. All right. Hang on. Here we go. I'm so sorry that I couldn't be there in person to present Aaron Meredith with this $5 check. You must respect a man that with one swing of his machete throws away any chance of winning the SEA award of $100,000. I'll buy you a beer. He didn't say the last part. The last part he didn't say.
Wow. So it's amazing. Randy's got to be careful that he's got that his routing number and account just sitting out there.
Yeah, I hope that that's... It's fake. Otherwise, oh my God, Mr. Yeah. Robot's coming for you.
I hate to see Randy Bailey's
Randy Corp's
hat.
About to get bankrupt.
Yeah, the Randy Bailey fortune. Retweeted it. That's great. Yeah. That's great. Whether it was Aaron making up a prop or Randy sending him a large check, that
high
was
quality incredible. Content. Yeah, both of them rising in my estimation with that.
Move. Yes,
very very good stuff.
Josh, are you ready for one of the most bizarre wand off submissions that we've ever gotten?
Obviously, yes.
Here is Michael J. Clark, and I guess he watched Disney Afternoon.
Tribal, dramatic, or live, or pragmatic. Aaron and Missy, they will not go to rocks. Vokai believing, none of them are leaving. Trusting the guy with his son on his socks. Tommy Glenn's vote for Jason coming everywhere.
Yeah.
Like the 10-year-old out of his chair. Aaron gets Tommy Glenn's.
That was, of course, the theme song to Gummy Papa Bears.
Yes. Yes.
Did you watch that show?
I loved Gummy Bears, but more specifically, I loved the Gummy Bears theme song so much. Underrated classic from those powerful Disney afternoons. In fact, this is going to sound like a lie, but maybe it doesn't because it's me. Emily Fox and I returned home from dinner not terribly long ago. I would say within the last 2 months. And as I like to do, I like to go out of my way to annoy her as much as possible by singing music that I know will just earworm inside of her brain.
machine and she will not be able to get out. And basically I get a lot of the like babe texts, babe. But in person. And it was gummy bears on our walk home from dinner. And then when we got back to the apartment, I blasted the gummy bears theme song on our Sonos and bounced around to the gummy bears theme song here and there and everywhere. But what I didn't realize is that what I had selected was the extended version of the gummy bears theme song. So I had to hop up and down all over the apartment for like a consecutive 3.5 minutes. I was very tired by the end of it. Anyway, yeah. Gummy bears for life, yeah. Obviously.
You know what? In hindsight, every one of those shows had a great theme song.
They all had great theme songs. I feel like I've already revealed that that DuckTales was a huge hit in my college career when I was performing in the band Gefilte Fish at Syracuse University. This is, again, a true story. It's not a lie. We tried gummy bears. We did gummy bears once. It wasn't as popular as DuckTales, but we did go for it.
All right, and Josh, to round out this week's honorable mentions, here is Laura E.D. to talk about a secret advantage that one player had this week.
Crushing it on the island of idols, charming Sandra and Rob. Taking deals, she don't need no details. Yeah, she's on the job. She's not that great a player, but she's not afraid to take a shot. She'll be this season's winner, 'cause there's some things that just can't be taught. She's a big talker, Jeff Shocker, vote blocker. Yeah, she's Elaine frickin' Scott. She's a big talker, Jeff Shocker, vote blocker. Yeah, she's Elaine frickin' Scott. She's a big talker, Jeff Shocker, vote blocker. Elaine Scott.
That's awesome.
That great. Was from Pat Dina Benatar.
Amazing. Incredible. Dina Benatar. gloriously dumb.
Josh, are you ready to get into this week's top five songs in Wombat Nation?
I repeat, yes, obviously.
Of course, all these songs and more have been loaded into our Wandoff SoundCloud playlist by the great Randy Newpel. Top five human.
Top five human for sure.
All right, let's get to our top five songs this week. You knew somebody was going to do it. Here's Jordan from Vancouver.
I get it.
Why don't you suck it up, Buttercup baby, or I'll block your vote. It's here in my pants. Oh no, I dropped it. I got it back, baby. Now we can use it to build trust stronger than Boston Rob's IOI mansion with the corner for Sandra to snore. So suck it up, Buttercup, or I'll block your vote.
That was the Foundation's Rector.
How did they get the beans over the Frank Garrison, indeed?
After a second place finish last week, Tina Toner and DJ Derek are back to talk about Elaine's epic ride to get the advantage.
I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I can do this. I'm like a ninja. I can do it.
You put your left hand in, pull the advantage out, stuff it in your pants, but get it tangled in your shirt. You do the oopsie doopsie and you drop your block of vote. That's how you get voted out.
Big steaks, but I like steaks.
You get Elizabeth to distract your tribe, pick the advantage up, stuff it in your pants again. Do the oopsie doopsie and do nothing in the challenge. That's how you lose immunity.
I'm gonna play the hero and ride in on my stallion.
You put your right hand in, pull the advantage out. You read the rules, now Vokai's freaking out. You do the oopsie doopsie, and now Jason hates your guts. That's how you lose your friends.
We could have been good friends.
We can still be good friends, bro.
You play your block a vote, and you block Jason's vote. Now Jason can't vote, and now they're scrambling for votes. They do the oopsie doopsie because they thought Elaine was dumb. That's how you vote Jason out.
Sorry, Jason.
Hey, I'm so happy none of you turned on me. I love you guys. You're my friends for life.
I still feel like Elaine and Jason, I hope they are safe friends.
I hope so, too. Yeah. That's what I said to him. I said, you guys can't be friends? Come on.
What?
Not friends? Elaine's amazing. You definitely want to be Elaine's friend.
Yeah.
I feel like she's going places.
Mm-hmm. Josh, the number three song in all of Wombat's Nation comes to us from Jake from Michigan. And he has some thoughts that Jason might have expressed.
Don't block my vote. Don't block me, cause I'm finally back on track. My name isn't Fishback, I'm a Vokai member, sticking purple strong, like a Boston rock, preaching the word of loyalty. I'm a doppelganger, finally on the show, I look like Sester Nino. I'm gonna vote, 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 there's no stopping me. Pulling Aaron to our side, yeah. A 5-3 vote, it looks like we're not drawing rocks tonight. But Elaine is looking in my eyes. I'm gonna take the power to vote away from you. Don't block my vote. I'm having such a good time. I'm living my dream. Don't block my vote. If you're gonna block my vote, at least just vote for Tommy. Don't block my vote. It's for me, Aaron. Don't block my vote. Screw you, Aaron. We were gonna vote you out anyway.
That was the queen stays queen.
She always does. She always does. I have not talked enough about the fact that that glare, the Tommy glare, truly could kill a human. It's like a mutant power.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. More the evil eye or stink eye?
That was like, I'm going to kill you eye. Like, that was like, you are dead to me. Abby Maria style. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Also, don't stop me now. Getting close to We Didn't Start the Fire territory. Programming note.
Not quite there yet, but
not quite there. Yeah,
working on glycerine first.
As Josh, for my request. The number four song in Wombat's Nation comes to us from Mike from Massachusetts, talking about this week's voted out contestant.
Yeah.
Who is this homie on my TV? Where have I seen this lad? He's from Long Island, he says, because he's got that nerdy swag. And it's kinda close. If you squint your eyes,
don't you see it too?
Just like Sester Nino. Oh, Sester Nino 2.0. I don't care if there's really no resemblance. Even his wife thinks so. Even his wife thinks so. Hey, Jason's the man.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
We're way through the sand. Oh no, what did he miss? Aaron won't even pound his fist. Old Lyro left him in the dark. Just like Rossi in All Stars. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait. They both came in 15th place.
I hear some people think he looks like you. I've heard that. A handsome guy, certainly.
Would we call him J-Saw Blender Nino?
I don't know why you would.
He looks just like Sester Nino. Oh, and it was an inside job. Cause they both got voted off the island. Cause of Boston Rob. Cause I'm Boston Rob. Cause I'm Boston Rob.
Because
I'm Boston Rob.
That was the great band Kelweezernicki.
Oh, definitely thought you were going to go for a Buddy Holly Hoffman.
That
but
would
Kelweezernicki.
We don't do the name of the song.
I suppose that's true. Yikes. Surprise, by the way. I feel like that may be, if not the first Buddy Holly Hoffman we've gotten, then among the firsts. If I was making the music, we would have heard that 17 times by now. I would have glycerined the shit out of it, if I'm being so honest.
That was Buddy's System Holly.
Sesta Holly. yeah, also, the first mention of the word because in the song, as sung in the song, did not sound like the word because, or even a Long Island pronunciation of the word because. I thought the word that was being said was bourgeois. I thought there was some sort of like French word that I didn't know. I don't know if it was just me, bad connection or something, but I heard bourgeois and I spent a little bit of time wondering what that means. Just some thoughts to throw your way.
Okay. I'm still thinking about J-Sob Linder Nino.
Yeah, me too, by the way. Fishback, are you okay? Steven? Are you all right? Is that why Steven's on sabbatical? Was that a sign that not everything's okay? What was it? Was Jason Sester Ninops?
I believe it was J-Sob Linder Nino.
No, no. Why would you say that?
I don't know why anybody would.
That's like the name of the weird amalgamation Survivor player revealed at the Heroes versus Villains reunion. That's a strange thing for Fishback to say. Lord love him. Lord, I mean Jeff. But geez.
That's a weird thing to say.
It is. A good professor with some wisdom.
And here is the number five song in all of Wombat's Nation. All you need to know is here comes Alex G.
Okay.
It's their season. They can vote who they
Alex
want.
G.
It's your podcast. You can say Wombat's what you want. Name. It's my Wanda. I can sing what I want. I can do what I want. Feature who I want.
Drop off now, splitty tribes everywhere. Orange is dead, Missy don't care. Remember only Lord, I mean Jeff can judge ya. Get the gyros, cause Vokai gon' love ya. If you're not ready to go home, can I get a let's go? Cause we came to make moves now. Hey, that somebody here might get sent now.
Sandra!
Jimmy, Boston, Robin, Sandra. They're building a cabana. Do they work and work all night? Something doesn't seem right, alright. So Aaron and Missy, total savagery, blindsiding Tommy, doing whatever they want. But wait, how do you build a house without a crew? But that boat block made their jaws drop.
Yeah.
Can't you see it's Lyro owns the knife? Can't you see it's Vokai taking flight? Cause that boat block made their heart stop.
Yeah.
They block boat, boat won't block thief. Boston Rob shelters fake definitely. Yeah, yeah.
It's a shelter we can build if we wanda. It's my show, I can play who I wanda. It's my song, sing along if you wanda. They're my tapes, play them in my trailer if I want. Mercy, Termine, Luru,
Wait a minute. Was that Brian Gumbel at the end and Kermit the Frog?
I don't know. that was Miley Cyrus Chip Gaither.
Did I hear Kermy? Was the word Kermy in there? Like what Miss Piggy calls her boyfriend?
I had Casey wind that back for me a couple of times. I was trying to figure out that I feel like there was Boston Rob, and then there was definitely...
Brian Gumbel with the tapes, sure. I got that.
But what I was confused about, I don't know who the voice is in between.
Mm.
It was a different voice.
I don't know. I've only had the luxury of listening to it the once.
So many questions for Alex G.
Yeah. Alex G. Wow. We'll talk offline. Get to the bottom of this. It's fantastic.
That was this week's top five songs in Wombat Nation. You can head on over to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda to cast your vote for the winner of this week's Wand Off. Of course, Kurt Clark, the tabulator, will put together all the results. You can listen to the SoundCloud playlist and be on the lookout for music videos from the great Jason Curtis Rivera. Until next week, Josh, keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands off the table.
All right.
Queso, queso.
All right. Bye, queso, queso. Stay cheesy.
All right. Josh Wiggler. What's next for you? You're so busy.
What's next for me? What's next for me is I have to rewatch The Walking Dead and take some notes on it and freshen up and organize yon feedback for the podcast that I am about to record tonight with the great Jessica Lease. Jess and I are going to be talking about The Walking Dead. Rob, there was recently a little bit of an expression of sadness and regret, borderline rage, that you are not available for these Walking Dead podcasts because there's been some Henry developments on the show. People are really missing your fire and brimstone as it pertains to The Walking Dead.
Okay, well, should I binge the show?
You escaped.
Yeah, but
you this is an abject lesson in don't listen to the masses and don't do everything that everybody tells you.
But here's the thing: like while hosting podcasts can be a drag, that one of my favorite things is being a guest on RHAP and Post Show Recaps podcasts. I feel like
come
in hot. I mean, if we get I'm a real wild card as a guest.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, fantastic.
Like unshackled.
Well, then in that case, catch up on The Walking Dead, and whenever you're good with that, we'll have you on. Maybe if you want to do the mid-season finale with Jess and I, that could be really fun.
Okay.
Get the gang back.
All right.
Together.
Let me try. Let me see what I can do.
Listen. Don't commit
don't
to
tell
it.
Judd
don't
Apatow.
Commit.
I might watch on faster speed.
Don't. Oh no. Oh yeah. That's a big no. Not the Marquesan, no. But yeah, if you're up for it, we're doing that podcast, and Jess and I are having a blast. There's a lot of laughs happening on the Walking Dead podcast. So even if you're not a big Walking Dead fan, I recommend you listen to them. I think Jess and I are having a really good time.
Could I just listen to the podcast and get caught up?
Yeah, probably. I think, but I think that the season is pretty good. I'm actually enjoying the season right now. There have been a couple of Henry things that you specifically would not enjoy. And so I think your take in that regard is indeed missed. But we've got that going on. Antonio Mazzaro and I are still podcasting about Mr. Robot. We just dropped our podcast about season 4, episode 5, which is in the contention for my favorite episode of Mr. Robot of all time. I loved this week's Mr. Robot. So we get into the why on the podcast. Mike Bloom and I shall be recording the next episode of the Lost podcast in a little while here. Talking about the Boone flashback. Hearts and Minds coming your way next on Down the Hatch. All of these podcasts are available for you on Post Show Recaps. You can get them by subscribing to the main Post Show Recaps feed, but also there are individual feeds for Mr. Robot, Walking Dead, and Lost. On top of all of that,
you can get it on Spotify too.
I believe that is doable. You could also listen to some Watchmen coverage if you're watching Watchmen. Antonio Mazzaro and I are podcasting about that over at the Hollywood Reporter,
I started. I caught up episode of the weekend, but yeah. I find it that it's a tough show for me to catch up on because I have to watch a show and then I have to listen to podcasts and watch YouTube videos and read articles.
YouTube videos?
YouTube videos. No.
Oh, I thought you said YouTube videos.
Yeah.
That's a clue, people. No spoilers.
Yeah. Or should I say no spoilers? I don't know. I don't know how to do a robot voice.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. But be sure to check out what Josh and Antonio are doing over on Series Regular as well.
Yeah, so that's what's up. Then writing about all of those shows over at The Hollywood Reporter. Busy times right now. Soon enough, we'll be writing about House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones prequel officially ordered to series by HBO, Rob. Feels like just yesterday Game of Thrones ended and disappointed us all. And we're going to get a chance to do that all over again in the not terribly distant future. So looking forward to that.
Okay. All right. Well, Josh Wiggler, great job once again. Follow Josh on Twitter if you're not. Do you think anybody listens to this podcast and they don't follow you on Twitter?
I'd probably, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Crazy. No, at Round Howard.
I get it. I don't tweet much. Not a great follow, to be honest. I appreciate the follow. Definitely helps with the numbers and the optics, but I'm just not really saying all that much anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, Josh.
You get my best stuff on the podcast.
We've got Twish coming up. Josh, thank you so much for another outstanding appearance here. And we'll talk to you next week. All right, before we get into this week in Survivor, I'm actually going to welcome in the First Lady of Podcasting to help me talk about one of our sponsors here today. Nicole, how are you?
I am good now.
Yes, you're good now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, is that because of the sponsor we're going to talk about?
It actually is.
All right, I want to talk about a brand new sponsor to the show. Going to talk about something here called the Theragun. The Theragun is a handheld, battery-operated, professional-grade percussive therapy device that helps to alleviate pain, improve mobility, and enhance performance. It's an easy-to-use handheld device that is going to help relieve tension and increase the blood flow. Now, it was hell week for Nicole this past week at her orange colored fitness center that she visits.
Where you drink the orange Kool-Aid.
Yes. And it's just the Boston Rob says, don't drink the Kool-Aid. But Nicole had missed.
I had been sick and my schedule had been a little crazy. So I missed a few weeks of the orange place. It was hell week and I really wanted the t-shirt because you get the t-shirt that says that you survived hell week and you're not legit without it.
So you pushed it. You were sore.
I couldn't walk.
Yes.
I could not walk.
And so they sent us over the Theragun to give it a try. And we tried it out on Nicole and it seems to have cured Nicole of her soreness.
It was a Christmas miracle.
Okay. It was because Mariah Carey says it's Christmas time. It's let's give it a couple of weeks.
Well, once Mariah Carey hits those high notes, it's definitely Christmas.
The Theragun can be used to treat every part of the body. It has a triangle design that allows you to grip it multiple different ways, whether you're an athlete, a mom, a business professional,
or
business
all of the above.
Yeah, well, for people like me, they say it's good for tech neck also.
I bet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Muscle soreness after working out usually makes it difficult to move throughout the day. The Theragun is going to be able to change that for you. If you're trying to work out regularly, using the Theragun before, during, and after your workouts can be a game changer. It's going to completely change the way that you can warm up and perform, and it really will speed up recovery like it did for Nicole. After workouts, Theragun releases tension, enhances muscle repair, and reduces any post-workout soreness. It's designed to speed up recovery and boost long-term performance. So get relief from muscle tension, soreness, stiffness, and knots, and increase blood flow to all those muscles. Plus, they got a great offer for our listeners right now. Two free attachments with your purchase. That's at Theragun.com/Rob. Two free attachments with purchase at Theragun, Theragun.com/Rob. Nicole, I know that you are a big fan of Jordan Kalish.
Yes.
This Week in Survivor.
Yes.
The This Week in Survivor history quiz. Did you want to stick around?
No.
Take the quiz.
No, I don't want everyone else to feel bad about themselves.
Wouldn't that be fun to take the quiz one day?
One day.
What, for real?
Yeah, one day.
We'll book you right now.
You know I'm not going to know anything.
Yeah, well. All right, Nicole, thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, I got my t-shirt, by the way.
You're okay.
I did get my t-shirt.
Good job.
Thank you, Theragun.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yeah. All right. Time for this week in Survivor. Let's welcome in the man who I believe is on the mend, back to making the quiz himself. Please welcome in Mr. Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
Doing much better this week. I was able to write my questions for you and our guest this week. No more eye problems. I didn't even have to wear an eye patch and pretend to be a pirate on Halloween. So doing well and ready to go.
Okay, I'm very excited for our guest this week back with us. I believe that he helped us launch this week in Survivor last season. He was our first guest out of the gate when we first experimented with This Week in Survivor, when there were no exit interviews in Survivor Edge of Extinction. Here he is back with us, the author of the Sir54321 Power Rankings blog, and the person ranked number one on my personal list of favorite Matts. Here is the great Matt Liguori. Matt, how are you?
Yes, thank you. I was very excited to be back. You're correct.
King of the Matts.
That's what I thought we were doing today. Jordan, the only way he got me on this podcast was telling me that we were doing that, and somehow we're doing twists, but I'm still happy to be here regardless. Always fun.
Yes, if it was an all-Matt Mafia game, then maybe Jordan would be up for something like that.
Hey, there's a lot of Survivor Matt. None on this season, but
I played with one. I played with one.
You did?
Yeah. Well, real quick, if we were going to do the bracket of the greatest, let me just off the top of my head, could I name them all? Do you know them?
I have them written down in my phone because of the Matt
bracket.
Okay,
well, let me see if I can. Could you tell me the number of how many there are, or should I just go through myself?
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8 that I have. Two of these are from Australia. Okay, so all right. From the US.
All right, real quick. Matthew Von Ertfelde. That's an easy one. Matt Elrod, a.k.a. Wyatt Nash.
Yes.
Boy, there's four other ones.
There's four more.
What about you got Bischoff? You got Quinlan?
Okay. Well, am I naming them or are you, Jordan? Because I wasn't going to get those, so that you're bailing me out. Let me just think real quick if I could come up with the rest of them. Boy.
You guys got four. There's 6 total that I find, at least.
if they go by something besides Matt, does that count? If they add like another...
Yeah. Oh, Matthew Sash Lanahan, right?
Yeah, there was a hint there, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one more who doesn't go by Maddie Matt.
Maddie from Gabon, yeah.
All right, well... Jordan is just going to continue to upstage you in the quizzes.
That's
here.
Right. That's right. Well, I was going to say
hot,
all those.
I'm hot off my Twitch win last week. I have to keep it up.
Yes, that I was about to say all of those, and then Jordan jumped in and then blurted them out. He's a big blurter.
Yes. So I mean, I don't know which is your pick of the top Matt from those 6.
Well, I feel like that Matthew Von Ertfelde went to the end, but so did Matthew Sash Lanahan. So I think that Matthew Von Ertfelde did get a vote. I'm not sure. I don't think Sash did. Huh? So I think that my own Mateo might be the all-time greatest Survivor King of the Mats.
Fair enough. I think I might go with Maddie from Gabon just because as a kid, I kind of always wanted to be called Maddie, but it never took off.
Never stuck.
So I think I was particularly fond of Maddie at the time.
Okay. All right. So, Matt, we are here 6 weeks into Survivor. You've been doing your power rankings throughout the season on the blog. Not to spoil it, but I guess who surprised you the most this season from your preseason rankings?
Surprised. So if I can like brainstorm for 2 seconds or try to remember, I think my top three in the preseason was I had Missy, I had Jamal, and I want to say it was Molly. So obviously Molly, ended up not being as, or it didn't go as well for her as I thought it might. I think more of my surprises this season have been in the opposite direction rather than people that I thought would do well. Just all of these people that I thought would do well that ended up, have already been taken out of the game.
Yeah,
there's been so many super fans and big players that are already gone, and we're only 6 weeks in. You know, we haven't even hit the merge. So that's been the biggest surprise for me so far. The fact that Molly, Chelsea, Jason, that they're all gone already. It's pretty crazy.
Now, you as a Long Island native, of course, I'm sure have a close connection with Jason from Plainview, who ended up being taken out this week. What's been the reaction on Long Island to Jason being voted out?
There's a lot of heartbreak around here. Mm-hmm. I think the lights around the island dimmed for a few minutes on Wednesday night, just, to pay some tribute there. But we still have Tommy. Tommy's still out there going strong for Team Long Island. So luckily, it seems like they've been putting more Long Island representatives on shows lately. I don't know if that is all the impact of one Big Brother's Caitlin Herman, but it seems like since she was around,
yeah,
have had
she manifested
a lot more
it.
Long Island representation.
Well, she's from the same town as Jason.
Plainview is producing a lot of talent on CBS lately. I don't know. I don't think Tommy's from Plainview, but like I said, we're still going to put our faith in him.
Yeah. Jordan, as another tri-state area resident, how did you take the loss of Jason this week?
I was disappointed. I mean, I thought Jason did a great job of kind of pulling himself up from that first episode, which obviously it didn't look like he was going to be in such a great spot. And he really put himself in the middle of that Vokai Alliance. And as much as I like Elaine, I think she's a great character. When I saw Jason's name pop up at Tribal Council, I was actually thinking to myself, I hope that Jason stays over Elaine. And I know that might be a hot take, but I was really enjoying him on the show. I think Elaine is a fantastic character. But if Elaine's story ended with this episode, I feel like she's still done really well for herself. She was a really good character. And unfortunately, it would have come to an end prematurely. But I feel like there was a lot more to see from Jason. I think he's one of these players who's very social, very strategic, and he could have been very fun to watch in the post-merge portion of the game. So I was disappointed to lose him early. But I mean, that's Survivor. It's good that we have a cast of good characters this season. And I'm still excited with the way the season's going.
Okay. Are you worried that the Elaine stands could come for you after that take?
Only a little bit, but I mean, I'm not anti
Elaine. Mobilized yet.
I don't think so either. And I'm not anti Elaine. She, to be fair, I think she's one of the best characters on the season. I just think that her story, if it had ended here, would have had an interesting arc where, I think she, she felt like she was in a lot of power at this, at this tribal council, which she was. But if Aaron and Missy had both turned on her, which seemed like it was probably a, at least a possibility, at some point, she would have been out. And I still think she would have cemented herself as someone who would probably play again. So I think she's done very well for herself character wise. And it was obviously a good episode for her because she didn't go home and it was Jason.
Matt, let me ask you that. I know that the week six power rankings have not dropped, but you had Aaron at the top of your rankings for week number five. I'm wondering, after this episode, do you feel like that this was the takeaway from this episode? Is this really great news? I mean, he didn't get voted out. His side got the numbers. Do you feel like even more bullish, if that's possible, on Aaron? Or are you feeling some caution flags on Aaron as having him as somebody that you were very high on going into this week?
Yeah, so Aaron has been somebody that I've been like keeping an eye on for the past few weeks. And I truly, like the week before, I literally had him in my top three. And then like right before I went to post it, I took him out. And I think I put Tommy in, or I don't remember who I swapped him out for. But I took him out that week. And then this week I was like, all right, this guy is playing the game. He's playing it pretty hard and seems to be playing it well enough where I don't think a whole lot of people are recognizing it. I think Elaine might have said something about him and his game like the previous week. But I mean, one person when he was playing as actively as he was, that wasn't enough for me to be too afraid of it, of his game. And now, this week was pretty big for him. I think Missy handled it very well. She right away, decided that she was going to go with Elaine and Elizabeth. She saw that they were clearly going to be able to take out a Vokai member once she saw that the Elaine had the vote block. Aaron seemed a little more hesitant. I don't know if that was just for show or if that was just, you know, if he really couldn't decide. But I think it was the right move to stick with Missy and, you know, take off a number where you're not too sure about them. It's just rough because he did dig himself such a hole with the Vokai guys about, you know, I'm with you guys. And now all of a sudden he wasn't. So, you know, spoil. I don't want to spoil everything in the blogger, you know, for this week. I still need some people to read it. Mm-hmm. But he is still on the blog this week. And I'll just say it, he is in the one to watch spot this week because I don't feel like he's still, you know, up there in the top three. I don't feel like he's, you know, anywhere near the bottom two, but I think he is somebody that, he did play such a big role last week. So we have to keep an eye on him going forward.
Okay. All right, Matt, I want to, compliment you for another one of your tweets, this week, which I had, missed, or I, noticed, but I did not pull the clip until I, ended up going to go back to see your tweet, at the tribal council that Tommy was making a big push for everybody to, from the old Lyro to stick with Vokai because you can join us and be part of the group. And so, let me play a little bit of Rob's reaction to that clip.
They can now join our side, and then they're in with us. They can be a Vokai.
They sell it for cool, man. They better not drink it.
Plus, Rob, if you couldn't make out what he said, he's selling the Kool-Aid. They better not drink it. Not like the people from Ometepe did that time, Jordan, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad that Tommy doesn't have sycophants on his season that have been fans of his for years.
Yes. And then, Matt, I appreciated your tweet of myself with the great Raven Walton that said, did somebody say Kool-Aid? Yeah.
Yes, I would need you to hop in the screen and ask Boston Rob what his favorite flavor of Tommy's Kool-Aid is.
It's cherry, right?
It's I think it's cherry. He made a really good cherry Kool-Aid out there.
Yeah.
I'd like to think it was also a nod to the great Rick Devens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
How quickly I let myself forget that.
That's right. So I appreciate that. Also, this was another clip with Tommy at Tribal Council, which I just want to... I caught this on my third watch of the episode, and this struck me as odd. So they're talking about after, you know, who's going home? Elaine has her advantage.
I mean, it's up to the survivor gods now, Jeff.
Woof! Did Tommy bark at Tribal Council?
Tommy was nervous. Like, he was under fire and just, like, he was nervous at this Tribal Council. I don't think he had any control over anything that came out of his mouth.
By my count, this is the third time he's made animal noises on the show. He's done llama, he's done bird, and now he's done dog.
Yeah, I guess so. Is that his talent?
It might be, or maybe, you know, this is I can't believe the second time I'm bringing this movie up. The animal with Rob Schneider and Colleen Haskell start a character who had animal characteristics. Is Tommy the animal? Is Tommy going to be the animal 2.0?
Okay.
I feel like we're getting a sequel of this movie at some point, and I don't know who the star is going to be, but I think Tommy's the leader in the clubhouse at this point.
Okay, so now you're saying that, so we're rebooting the animal, and instead of a survivor as the love interest, we are going with a survivor as the titular protagonist here. And so Tommy is a man who was in a terrible accident and has been reassembled using all animal parts, and that he cannot control his animal instincts. So like a dog, he has like, you know, bad dreams, and it's like, oh, wake him up. He's having a dream.
Yeah,
he makes bird calls.
I mean, I think like if we're rebooting the animal, I mean, we are probably going to want to replace Rob Schneider. So I think that's the way to go. Colleen Haskell might be a little bit hard to find, but I'm sure we could either find another survivor to cast as the loved interest, or maybe an established actress can be the love interest to Tommy.
Yeah. Matt, are you buying this? Is Tommy working to reboot the animal?
Maybe. I mean, Long Island, when I think of like an animal, I think of the ducks because the Long Island ducks. But if we're going to go with the Long Island dogs, that's fine too.
Now, Matt, you are the biggest New York Islander fan that I know. Very bullish about the Islanders this season. Did part of you cheer when former New York Ranger Tom Laidlaw was voted off this season?
Yeah, I mean, I totally forgot about that. But yeah, I have to say it didn't feel bad when he went out of the game. I thought it was weird. You know, I follow, of course, the NHL Twitter account. So it was just strange seeing tweets pop up for the past couple of weeks from Tom Laidlaw, just a video of him talking to the camera. And it was on the NHL official NHL account. And he was like, so last night on Survivor, things went well. We got rid of whoever it was. And just him talking about Survivor. And it was not something that I ever would have thought I'd see from that account. But yeah, eventually he gave his closing thoughts last week. And yeah, I don't know if I was too sad to see him go. He wasn't the most exciting player on the season. He was a former Ranger. So, you know, see you later. Enjoy free jury.
Yeah. So this weekend, of course, we had the very sad passing of Rudy Bosch. And Jordan, as our resident keeper of Survivor history, that I would be remiss to not ask you, did you have any particular favorite moments from the Survivor career of Rudy Bosch?
I mean, it's hard to pick one moment because he was gold that whole season. And I mean, my experience watching Survivor Borneo, even though it was the first season of Survivor, I believe it was actually the third or fourth episode of Survivor that I saw, because I was at sleepaway camp when Survivor Borneo aired during the summer. So I had actually seen the episode, I was homesick from school for about a week or two. I had the flu. And I was watching the episodes on VHS tapes that my mom's friend had taped. And I was actually, from what I thought, spoiled on the season. I was told that Rudy had won. So I was actually watching the first episode of Survivor, the first season of Survivor, thinking Rudy had won. And the whole time I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. This guy's amazing. This guy's, you know, an American hero. He's a Navy SEAL. Everyone loves him. And when Richard Hatch, when Kelly took Richard and not Rudy to the finals, it was maybe the biggest shock I've ever had in Survivor history. And as much as I love Richard, I was definitely sad to see Rudy go. But I think one of the things that really sticks out for me now that I have, you know, seen all the episodes of Survivor many times is one of his quotes from early on that season where he says there's more of them than there are of me, referring to the younger people on his tribe. And I think that really just encapsulates how you need to play Survivor. If you're not fitting in, if you're different than the people of your tribe, you have to change the way that they perceive you and in order to fit in. So I think that he really discovered that early on before a lot of people who have played the game Survivor.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that Rudy ever changed anything that he was doing to fit in. I mean, he was not a chameleon. That he was who he was, but I think that he wasn't going to push back and try to have things the way he wanted them. I think, you know, he was just going to go along with what they were doing and then not say that much about it, except maybe to the cameras. Matt, do you have any favorite memories of Rudy?
I don't know if you expected this take in back-to-back weeks here on Twitch, but All-Stars is also one of my favorite seasons. So to have him there, obviously it was only a short while, but just to see him included in that group, you know, you had to have Rudy on that cast. And like I said, to see him be there for only a short time is kind of upsetting, but glad he was there at all and glad he was on Survivor in the first place. He is such an important figure in the show. I would say my favorite Rudy moments probably come from the evolution of strategy. Hearing you and Josh, but obviously, you know, you give all your stories of everything that you and Rudy did and, you know, everything that happened on that trip that you guys went on. I feel like that helped me get to know Rudy and just, you know, laugh about times with Rudy way more than the show did. So grateful that exists. And if anybody hasn't, you know, heard that, you definitely need to go listen to it. Just to sit back and remember the good times with Rudy Bosch.
Yeah, I appreciate that we had, you know, we were not in, like, we wanted to go home. We didn't want to be there. You know, we got voted off and we went to Ponderosa. And then I remember, you know, having a beer with Rudy the night that I got voted out. And then we were there together for about a week at the Ponderosa, which I didn't mind being at the Ponderosa, but then they sent us off on a trip and it was myself, Richard Hatch, Rudy, and Tina, that they sent us together, and then other people went, the other people from the pre-jury ended up going to, some different places. Sue Hawk was by herself, and then, it was, Ethan and Colby and Jerry. They went off to Mexico together, and we went down to the, southern tip of Argentina, a place called, Bariloche. Richard Hatch, went off and did his own thing. And it was myself and the handler and Tina and Rudy together for like 3.5 weeks together. And I think Tina herself, nobody wanted to be there. Everybody was like, this is, and we did not want to do, anything. And then the handler, you know, bless her heart. She's like, okay, I planned this activity together. And I think Rudy and I were sort of just like, I don't want to do this. You know, this is not fun. Like, I'd rather do nothing than, do this. And Tina was more like, come on, guys, you know, so she was more of the, you know, adventurous one, but Rudy and I were both, you know, misery loves company. But he would just, you know, tell me often the same stories over and over again of how things went down on the Saboga tribe with Eason and Jerry and Jenna and Rupert, that actor. And it was just like, I would be crying. I think that like Tina would get annoyed of like, all right, because and I would like to get Rudy worked up. You know, I sort of like I knew, you know, how to get like those stories out of him. And you know, he had so many, you know, stories about from the first Survivor. I got the chance to like pick his brain on like, oh, so what was that like in the first season when this happened. And you know, he was so great. And his ending from the show, from the Survivor All-Stars, you know, he just would always talk about how I got a lot of friends and they shouldn't have done that to me. It was always like a threat of people shouldn't have betrayed him because he has a lot of Navy SEAL friends that it's like no other survivor has ever done that of they shouldn't have betrayed me because I have powerful friends that are going to hurt them. So,
and it was just the most endearing way that the, you know, you never even would have felt threatened by it. It would have been like, yeah, I probably deserve that. I shouldn't have done that to Rudy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Rudy was great because he, you know, once he told you he was good and he wasn't going to go back against his word. And that was just like, it was very, you know, clean and simple, like how he played the game. And so he was great. I can't remember if I was able to, if I ran into him at the 10 year anniversary party. I think I was looking for him and we didn't cross paths. And then there was one time he was at the finale for the last time he ever did anything with Survivor was that he was in attendance for the wacky Survivor Karamoan finale, that he was in the audience. And they, I don't even know what the occasion was, but they brought Rudy out and that he like was part of a clip with a naked Richard Hatch. Jordan, do you remember any of this?
I remember it vaguely. I remember they interviewed him and they did show some sort of video. I couldn't tell you exactly
finale.
What happened.
They had, you know, half the survivors in the audience. Boston Rob was there also as part of that. They they talked to like the 10-year-old girl about Malcolm, and they did a weird thing with Rudy and Rich. And you know, some of the fans had ran into Rudy and he was asking for me, but I never was able to get back in contact with him. And you know, I always that you know, hope that he, you know, you know, remembered you know, his time with me as fondly as I did with him. But he was so much fun to be around. I feel just very lucky that I got to spend time. It's the one positive I take away from that whole experience of going out on Survivor All-Stars was the time I get to spend with Rudy.
Yeah, he's an absolute legend in Survivor history. And, you know, you had brought up what some of his great moments before. Another one that I failed to mention before was just the Blair Witch Project challenge. The I don't know video is just one of the funniest things that's ever happened on the show. And it's like, you're not going to get that from anyone else.
Yeah. So Rudy was, you know, one of a kind. All right. Jordan, I know it was also this week was Halloween. Did you happen to notice any interesting Survivor Halloween costumes going on this week?
I mean, you definitely brought up Davey's many costumes on your recap with him. I saw that T-Bird was dressed as a devil at one point. I'm trying to remember if any of the other Survivor Halloween costumes from this week. But T-Bird and Davey were definitely the standouts that I saw.
Matt, did you see any?
Detective Dean was dressed up.
Oh, yes.
Yes, himself.
So, Detective Dean, do we think that there will be a recurrence of the Detective Dean character this season, Matt?
I sure hope so. I mean, at the very least, I'm sure that'll be a fun time at TUS Volume 4. But yeah, I hope we get Detective Dean again. And I also saw this week's elimination. What do you call it on Survivor? On Big Brother, you call it the evictee, the boot, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw Jason dressed up as himself. Did you see this? He was dressed up in just his Survivor outfit.
Where did he post this?
It was, I don't know if he posted it like on Instagram itself or like, I know it was definitely on his story, but he was just dressed up as a Survivor player.
Okay. So he's cosplaying as himself.
I guess so. I don't think I see. Oh, wait, no, I don't. This might be on his story still from 23 hours ago. Mm-hmm. I'll screenshot it just in case. But I think he dressed up as a Survivor player, basically as himself for Halloween.
Yeah, but it's post Halloween. So. Let me say. Yeah, so he's wearing. Yes, he's dressed up as himself. And is the other guy dressed up as Tommy?
He looks like Nick Wilson.
Yeah, he looks like Mike Bloom.
Yes, he does.
So, all right. There you go. By the way, I had talked about on the feedback show about how Boston Rob was giving out full-size candy bars at his house. And then I thought it would be ideal if then while he was handing out the full-size Reese's to the kids that he could also tell them. Okay. All right. Before we get into the quiz this week, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at the Purple Mattress. And they know that if you're tossing and turning all night, then you're going to not be so happy, especially if you had that extra hour to toss and turn this weekend. Not ideal. You're not feeling like yourself. You wouldn't be able to perform your best on the This Week in Survivor History quiz. That's where Purple comes along, because the founders of Purple are two brothers who have been developing cushioning technology for 30 years on things like medical beds and wheelchairs. And in 2016, they finally decided to use their patented comfort technology to create Purple, the world's most scientific mattress. Yeah, a scientific mattress, if you could believe it. It's going to feel differently than anything you've ever felt before, because it uses a brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist, and it's not like the memory foam that you're used to. The Purple material feels very unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time, so it keeps everything supported while you'll still feel really comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. It ends up giving you the zero gravity feel, so it works in any sleeping position with a 100-night risk-free trial. And if you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund, backed by a 10-year warranty, free shipping and returns, and free in-home setup and old mattress removal. You're going to love Purple, and right now, our listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text ROB to 84888. The only way to get the free pillow is to text Rob to 84888. That's ROB to 84888. Message and data rates may apply.
Twish.
Okay. Jordan is back in the saddle to make this week's quiz. Jordan, did you forget how to do it?
No, I figured it out. For the first couple days of the week, I was like, I don't know. What do I have to do here? What show am I even writing this about? But then I remembered. I listened to the podcast back with Mary, got some inspiration from our 1 week host, Mary Kwiatkowski. So yes, I remembered how to do the quiz and I am back, baby.
Okay. You didn't get like senioritis at all, where it's like 1 week off the quiz routine and now you're like, hey, it's so hard to get back into it.
I actually think now that I have the perspective of a contestant, I think the questions are going to be better than ever.
Okay. All right. So
I think you never know. Who knows?
All right. Matt, are you ready?
I loved Mary's questions last week with the thing over the freaking thing or under the freaking thing or around the freaking thing and next to the freak. Those are that was a great question. And I hope that's not what I get this week because I won't get it right.
How did you do last time? Did you beat me in the quiz last time, Matt?
No, you beat me. I know we went to like six tiebreakers.
Okay.
But you did end up pulling out the win.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Redemption, baby.
Redemption. Yes. Okay. Matt, do you need Jordan to explain the rules?
Hopefully not. I think I know what we're doing here.
Okay, Jordan, for any new listeners, do you want to quickly explain?
Sure. I have four multiple choice questions. Each of you get to answer two of them. You can choose not to hear the multiple choice. And if you're right, you get 2 points if you don't hear the multiple choice options. However, your opponent gets to steal a point if you are wrong. If you choose to hear the multiple choice options, you will only get 1 point for a correct answer. Your opponent cannot steal on a 1 point question. And then we'll have a final round where both players are able to gain points.
Oof. Okay. All right. Oof.
All right, so here are your categories for this week. Matt, you'll get to choose first as the guest. We have Almost Dateable, Kidnapped, Two Tribals for the Price of One, and Cochrane, You Screwed Me Over.
I'm going to go with Almost Dateable and hope that it's in regards to one of my favorite seasons, but we'll see.
Well, I don't know if it's in regards to one of your favorite seasons, but it is in regards to one of my favorite seasons. We're going to Survivor Guatemala, the episode... The episode is a surprise enemy visit from October 27th, 2005, 14 years ago last Sunday. After Jeff snuffed the torch of the person voted out at the tribal council right before the merge, he instructed the Yasha tribe to go directly to the Nakum camp, who was voted out at this tribal and therefore did not make the trip to Nakum.
The person, luckily, Guatemala, and I'm going to feel embarrassed if I don't get this right, but Guatemala was just covered by Dom and Colin over on their Patreon podcast series, which they just wrapped up recently. So Guatemala is pretty fresh in my head. The person voted out right before the merge, I believe, was Amy O'Hara.
So if you are incorrect, Rob has a chance to steal, but you have listened to Dom and Colin very carefully. It is Amy O'Hara, and oh, you cool. get 2 points.
Body pants.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Dom and Colin. And Matt, you have a 2 point lead
and
here.
Dom and
Rob.
Colin, if I see you, I am going to beat you down.
Well,
yeah, see, in her final words, unlike Rudy, she threatened people herself. It's not her friends that are going to come after you. She's going to come after you herself. Yeah. I think she and Rudy would have gotten along.
Yeah, Rudy Rudy never threatened to hurt anybody himself.
True. Good point.
He has people for that. So we have now Kidnapped, Two Tribals for the Price of One, and Cochrane, You Screwed Me Over. I feel like I should sing that category.
Here, you want it?
Cochrane, You Screwed Me Over!
Yeah. Okay, Cochrane, You Screwed Me Over.
Okay, let's go with it. We're going to, obviously, Survivor South Pacific. The episode is Double Agent from November 2nd, 2011, 8 years ago Saturday. At the famous Merge Tribal Council, in which Cochrane flipped his vote to Keith on the revote, who from Upolu did the Savayis vote for?
Who from Upolu did they vote for? Who did they put their votes on? Trying to think through... Let me hear the choices.
Okay, multiple choice. We have A, Albert, B, Rancher Rick, C, Coach, D, Sophie.
I'll go with the rare non-joke answer, D, Sophie.
D, Sophie, not a joke answer, definitely a possibility, but unfortunately, you are not correct. It was Rancher Rick. They tried to vote out Rancher Rick.
I don't remember that.
Cochrane flipped his vote from Rick to Keith.
Okay. All right.
Y'all are stupid.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like that's a very memorable episode of Survivor, and it's a tribal council that we talk about all the time. But yeah, it's sort of interesting that they picked Rick. I wonder if they felt that he was maybe the least likely to have an idol there. But we are now going to match.
How is the Rancher Rick profile that different than Ben Driebergen?
I mean, I think there's a big difference in like how intensely they were playing the game between Rick and Vendrieberg. And I mean, they're both, I guess, a similar casting archetype, but they played the game very differently.
Okay.
So the categories now for Matt, we have two tribals for the price of one, and we have kidnapped.
I have no idea what kidnapped could be, and two tribals for the price of one sounds like I've doubled the chances to get it right. So we'll go with two tribals for the price of one.
Okay, we're going to go to Survivor Gabon. The episode is It All Depends on the Pinup Girl from October 20th, 2008, which is 11 years ago Wednesday.
And my birthday.
Yeah. In the episode, both tribes went to tribal council and voted someone out. Before tribal, there was an individual immunity challenge, which was won by Marcus, who was informed that he must also assign individual immunity to someone on Fang. Who did he choose?
Wait, hold on. Did you say that the episode was on October 20th?
That doesn't sound wrong this week.
Yeah. I mean, that my birthday is this, two weeks ago today.
Wait, hold on one second. I probably have the date. Gabon. I'm just going to the Wikipedia
page. This whole quiz is out of order.
Hold on. I either wrote a question from the wrong week or I wrote the date wrong. It all depends on the girl. You know, it's October 30th. I typed a 2 instead of a 3.
All right.
That's what I did.
Comforting.
Yeah. So well, happy birthday. Rob, I just wanted another chance to wish you a happy birthday. But yes, it's October 30th, 2008.
All right. And that would make it this week. Okay.
Yes. So with all this, do you need me to reread the question, Matt?
I know what the question was. If I get this right, do I win?
If you get this right, no, because Rob has another question, so you don't
take it
automatically
easy.
Win. It puts you in a good spot, but it doesn't lock it up because Rob has another question to answer.
I should just guess, or if I need to get the choices. Give me the choices. Please.
Okay, so we have A, Ace, B, Crystal, C, Kenny, D, Sugar.
And who did he give immunity to? I'm just going to guess Sugar.
Sugar is correct. So you get one point there, and you have a 3-0 lead over Rob. Yeah, this is the episode where Sugar flipped her votes. Sugar flipped her vote onto Ace based on the lie that Kenny told her that he was trying to vote her out. So whether Ace was trying to do that or not, which he wasn't, Sugar would have been fine anyway because she was immune. So yes, you were correct. 3-0. And Rob, you get the last question. It's kidnapped. We're going to go to Survivor Cook Islands, where everyone loves pre-merge for Survivor Cook Islands. Why aren't you swimming? From November 2nd, 2006, 13 years ago Saturday. At the previous tribal council, Aitutaki was able to kidnap a member of Rarotonga, making this person immune from the vote. In this episode, Aitu had the decision to allow this person to participate in the reward challenge for their own tribe. Who was this kidnapped member of Raro who the Aitu tribe decided to sit out instead of participate?
I have to hear the choices.
Yeah, I think you guys, for whatever reason, from the category, I think you both assumed this would be the hardest question, and it probably is. A, Adam Gentry. B, Jenny Guzan Bay. C, Nate Gonzalez. D, Parvati.
Now, did you get rid of the D joke answers because Akiva told you to?
No, I still sometimes do D joke answers. It's never been always...
It seems like today, no, there were no joke answers for D.
Yeah, today I didn't write any joke answers, but it has nothing to do with Akiva.
It feels like that for, I don't know, God knows how many years, every D was a joke answer.
Every D was not always, no.
And said, get rid of the joke answers, and now here we are today, no joke answers.
That was weeks ago. I've had plenty of joke answers, so we don't always get to the multiple choice also. So there's sometimes joke answers that we don't hear.
This sounds like a lot of Keeve pressure to me.
This is not Keeve pressure. Keeve doesn't own this podcast. I mean, he has to come on this podcast at some point. When he comes on, every D is going to be a joke answer. But no, this week I just happened to not write any joke answers.
Can I hear the choices one more time?
It's A, Adam Gentry. B, Jenny Guzan Bay. C, Nate Gonzalez. D, Parvati.
Yeah, don't joke about the D.
Mm-hmm. Jenny Guzman Bay.
Jenny Guzan Bay, unfortunately, was not kidnapped by the Aitu tribe. It was Nate Gonzalez, who we saw on very quickly on this season of Survivor. So, Rob, you have 0 points going into the final round. Matt, you have a 3-0 lead. Technically, you do not have it wrapped up yet because Rob is able to gain potentially 3 points in this final round. But if Rob were to get a question wrong or Matt were to get one right, we will have a winner. So
all right, this is big stakes.
Big stakes. All right. But I like steaks.
Yeah, and again, like Elaine's amazing. I'm not coming for her. I'm just gonna miss Jason.
But
okay. Final round here. Before the Thailand fake merge, two pairs of survivors were sent off to inspect the Chuigan and Sukjai camps in order to decide where they'd be living for the rest of the game. Name the four contestants who traveled to one of the two camps. So you don't have to tell me which camp they went to. You don't have to tell me who they were with. There are four people who traveled to the two camps. You have to tell me who these four people were. Rob, start with one of them.
Don't we usually go back and forth three times? There's only four points up for grabs this time?
Well, there's always 4 points up for grabs unless we get to the tiebreaker. I do have a separate tiebreaker, but this particular question only has four answers.
Okay. All right. So I'm just coming up with a person that was on the scouting party.
Yes.
On the away team.
On the away team.
So, but if there's only 2 points I could possibly get, right?
No, there's okay. Three, because if you get yours this right and then Matt gets his wrong, you'll get to answer the next two times because you can't answer once you've gotten one wrong.
Okay. How about Jake Billingsley?
Jake Billingsley is incorrect, so you lose.
Okay. All right.
Matt, could you have gotten any of these?
I would have guessed out of the names that I know from that season, so I might have lucked into it, but my first guess was going to be Ken.
Ken was correct. So
smarty pants.
Okay. Yeah, so Rob, the other correct answer is Xi'an and Clay visited Chuigan. Ken and Helen visited Sukjai. So Rob, even if you had said Xi'an, Clay, or Helen, the fact that Matt got Ken, you would have lost whether you got that right or not. Or wrong. So is this
where's Frail Mary? Where's Frail Mary?
No, I like these questions.
Yeah, Matt likes the quiz.
All right, there we go.
The tiebreaker question. Let's see if you guys could have gotten this one. I would have had you both submit your answers to me because there's one answer to this. But you don't have to do that because we're not actually playing the game anymore. But who did Ozzy play his idol for at the South Pacific Merge Tribal Council?
Played his idol for?
Whoever gets it first gets, like, I don't know, a cookie.
I got nothing. No, wait.
Did he play for himself?
Nope.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. We're getting more.
It was Whitney. He played on Whitney. They thought that the Savoyes would vote for her, or sorry, that the Opolos would vote for her, but he got the wrong half of the showman's.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, friend of the podcast.
I would love to interview Ozzy. He's on, you know, I feel like that both Ozzy and Joe Anglum, I feel like I would love to do an interview with those guys. I feel like that you really don't hear from them. And I feel like that those are the people that I'm really most interested in interviewing because I have no idea how it would go.
And Malcolm,
maybe you should do a whole series in the off season on like these like alpha male challenge guys.
Yeah, well, I really like those are the ones that I'm trying. Like, I feel like the nice thing with like talking with T-Bird, we're able to track some of these people down. But the people that where it's like they never give an interview. I feel like that those are the biggest challenges that are on the board at this point in the game.
I would definitely listen to Ozzy talking with T-Bird.
Yeah, or just talking with me. Either one.
Or talking
would be
with Rob.
Fine.
Either way, I'd listen.
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe one day the paths will cross. Anyway, so all right, Matt, thank you very much for coming in here and kicking my ass in the quiz.
I totally don't mean to rub it in, but I know I am. Is it very common for you to not get any points at all? I feel like I have not heard that before.
You know,
and that had nothing to do with me.
Some people that they come in here and shut me out in the quiz, and then they shouldn't do that because I got a lot of friends on the social media.
We need Rob's fact checker on that one.
Yeah,
Rob, one point thank in total in me. the last 2 weeks. You're averaging half a point in the last 2 weeks.
Well, in fairness, Adam Gase is running my quiz, so that's a part of it.
Not the biggest loss that you had today. And if you're wondering, yes, we do record this on a Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Matt, who's the most recent survivor you followed on Twitter?
All right. So I knew you were going to ask this. And my question to you is how recent or how updated is your information?
Oh, let me refresh the page. And my information is completely updated. It's the same person that I, yeah. Well, according to my screen.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you might have been checking before the podcast or like, you know, this morning.
Well, I checked right before the podcast and I refreshed it and it's the same person. So unless you've just followed somebody like in the last 5 seconds, then
no,
it should be updated. And I have, well, you answer it. It's your question.
Yeah. The answer is Detective Dean Kowalski. Wasn't sure who it might have been beforehand. And rather than freak out about that, I just wanted to get another Dean shout out in before we got out of here.
Yeah. Right. Jordan,
DK Chillin.
I saw that you are JK Chillin on Twitter now.
Yeah, I figured I'd have some fun before changing my name back from like my Halloween name to my actual name. Yes, I am right now.
You
JK
made a pit
Chillin.
Stop on the way back to Jordan Kalish.
Yeah. Why not? YOLO. Let's chill.
Yeah. And I don't want to say that things have gotten that bad as a Jets fan, but I am hoping that we can upgrade to Freddie Kitchens as the head coach of the Jets in the offseason.
Yeah, I think, Matt, as you said before, you're a New York Islanders fan. I'm pretty sure they could beat the Jets in a game of football right now.
Probably.
All right. There we go. All right. So, Jordan, anything else for this week?
No, I think we covered everything. I'm looking forward to next week's episode.
You have
I think
a prediction?
The game
who's
is,
going? Who's going home before the merge?
I think that if it's Lyro, I think it's going to be Karishma. I just have a feeling that Dean potentially has better connections with the people on that tribe, even though he's probably a bigger threat than Karishma. If Vokai were to go to Tribal Council, I think the former Lyros would stay together. And my prediction is that I hate to say Tommy because I think he's playing a great game, but he's got to be the biggest threat at that point. And it seems like they don't want to go for Lauren, but maybe Aaron's maybe Tommy's bond with Aaron could save him, and it would be someone like Dan.
Okay.
I know I just gave like three names. I covered all my bases.
Not knock out the entire Team Long Island right away. Please.
Right.
I don't want to see Tommy go home. I just think like if you're looking at that group of three now and you're in the majority, why not get rid of someone who's going to be such a big threat? But he's also a shield, so you never know.
Yeah, Matt, I watched the entire Jet game today. So the most interesting thing I saw was a promo for Survivor where Jeff Probst in the promo called the Tribal Council this week. He said that we've never had a Tribal Council like this. Will that influence your power rankings in any direction?
Oh, yeah, I wish you didn't tell me that. I already wrote out everything for this week. I was about to post it in like a day or two. I don't know. My official prediction for this week is as sad as I am. To say it, I really have a hard time seeing Nora make the merge. And I feel like after last week didn't go so well for her with, you know, her telling Dean information and then him running it over to Jamal. I feel like it might be her time, but I hope I'm wrong about it.
Yeah. Hope you're wrong.
You think like, yeah, she's going a little nuts in the commercials, but I mean, that's like going a little less fun. But I think, my guess is that the person that she tries to target is Jamal, and maybe he could be in a little bit of trouble too, but yeah. I see Jamal making the merge.
Yeah. And, I guess it really comes down to that. Has Nora been drinking the Vokai Kool-Aid? And if so,
oh, by the way, this morning that water tasted like poo.
So, okay. Good to think about moving forward. Okay. All right. Matt Liguori, how do people follow you on social media if they want to make you their most recent follow?
Yes, you definitely should do that. Follow me on Twitter at Matt Liguori, and that is where I post every week my weekly 3-2-1 blog, which you can find on robswebsite.com in the blogs. But yeah, I tweet it out every week, so you can follow me there.
Okay. All right. And Jordan Kalish at JK or at Jordan Kalish. He's JK Chillin.
Don't be confused if you see my name looks a little bit different than normal. I'm just emulating one of my idols, Detective Dean Kowalski.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Of course, you can access the entire Wanda of SoundCloud on Patreon. Rob has a website.com/patron for all that and much more on our Patreon podcast feed and everything we have going on in the Patreon community. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.